Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
What's up? How are we on this Thursday edition of the show? My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are with me. And you know that I love you. And you know that I appreciate you when I am still giving you a podcast on my day off. I was off today from the radio show. Hey Dad had to come up with something. I don't know. I have no idea what he talked about today. I usually check in when I'm off. I was off today. I didn't check in at all. I have no idea what he was talking about. He could have said anything about me, and I won't know, and I won't care. It doesn't matter, but I'm still bringing you an episode tonight. The Football Power Index, ESPN's, albeit quite flawed formula, as I said on Twitter, to start the season. Now, teams that are unranked play well and have really good seasons, and teams that are ranked play poorly, have bad seasons. But if your football power index formula thing has in the top 25 Clemson, Auburn, and South Carolina, you might need to recalibrate that formula a little bit here. But still, they updated it, and we now know where Ole Miss falls. But more importantly, we now know how difficult the schedule is for Ole Miss, and it's something that I don't think enough people are talking about. I reference it all the time. The SEC going to 9 conference games overall as a league from a playoff perspective, how that's going to come back to bite the league. We haven't talked about it enough from the Ole Miss perspective, though. I don't think enough people are acknowledging the reality that is this schedule this season is significantly more difficult than last year's. And what does that mean? Should that change the way you think? Should that change the way your definition of success for 2026 for Pete Golding and his team? So we'll talk about that on this edition of the show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Just search the name. And if you have not already, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And also right here on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. This edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi. They've got anything, literally everything that you need under one gigantic roof for your home, whether it be inside or outside, home improvement projects and more, clothes, boots, the cheapest beer in town, great fishing and hunting selection as well, but also appliances, home furnishings, anything for your garden, for your hunting property, your lawn, whatever it is. But most importantly, if you need a John Deere, and that is the tractor that you want. It's America's tractor for a reason, and they will give you 0% on all of these John Deere's, varying months, but all of these John Deere's, 0% from our friends at Scruggs. Commercial mowers, compact tractors, 0%. 5-series tractors, 0%. Zero-turn mowers, 0%. Gators, if you want a John Deere Gator, you got to break the bank for that one. The crazy high interest rate of 1.9%. 1.9% is all that you have to pay to get a John Deere Gator. So go buy Scruggs. Tell them that it was me that sent you. Even if you don't live in the Tupelo area, it is worth the trip because they've got everything and they've got 0%. They've got John Deere. And most importantly, they've got the good people that will take care of you because they are one of you. So go to Scruggs and tell them that it was me that sent you. So the Football Power Index got released, or I guess I should say updated. We've been using the FPI for our countdown of 100 teams in 100 days, but it's the old FPI. So this is the new one, the updated version. We're not changing the countdown for the show. We've already done, you know, over half the teams by the time I get back on Monday. So we're not recalibrating that from a radio show perspective, but they have updated the Football Power Index. And the strength of schedule, a lot of SEC flavor on this, as you can imagine. Arkansas 1, Oklahoma 2, Texas 3, Kentucky 4, Ole Miss 5, Mississippi State 6, Florida 7, the first non-SEC team shows up, Ohio State at number 8. Ironically enough, they are playing one of the best teams in the SEC. Imagine that. Number 9, A&M. Number 10, South Carolina. 11, LSU. 12, Missouri. 13, Auburn. 14, Tennessee. 15, Alabama. So if you're counting at home, there was one non-SEC team in the top 15 of the most difficult schedules, strength of schedules in college football. And we can stop there. Actually, why not? Vanderbilt's at 18. Georgia with the easiest schedule in the SEC at number 20 in the country. So Ole Miss, a top five schedule. Why are they a top five schedule? Well, it's quite simple. Ole Miss has nine teams in the top 30. Again, I know it's a flawed algorithm. I have had issues with the FPI in the past. I don't think Auburn and Missouri and Clemson should be. Right now, they can prove it. Not Missouri. Did I say Missouri? Auburn and Clemson and South Carolina should not be anywhere close to a preseason top 25. They can prove it on the field. That'd be great. But right now, I don't think they belong. So, you know, there's flaws in this thing. But of the top 30 teams in the country, according to the algorithm, Ole Miss plays nine of them this season. Texas at 2, Georgia at 5, LSU at 9, Oklahoma at 12, Florida at 18, Missouri at 21, Auburn at 22, Louisville at 27, and Vandy at 29. Yet another reminder for me to be a broken record that just constantly repeats myself. There are too many people that think that Louisville game is going to be a walk in the park, and I am here to tell you it's not going to be. If Ole Miss wins that game by a lot, going away, comfortable win, then we will have the conversation after that game will be one of incredible optimism, because I think that's going to be a tough football game. It's a good team, and so don't sleep on that one. Sidebar really quick, by the way, I saw the ticket prices today for the game that is very much not anywhere close to being sold out. There are many thousands of tickets available online for purchase right now. Again, that game is not close to being sold out. And the get-in-the-door price for one seat on the very last row of the stadium is still $70. I'm not going to get on my soapbox tonight about cost for fans and stuff like that. I'm not going to do that tonight, but a lot of empty seats, get-in-the-door price for two tickets with fees and all that garbage is still over $150. To sit on the last row of a stadium that is decaying and they're building a new one right across the street, I don't get it. It bothers me greatly that they exploit you guys the way that, and that's not an Ole Miss thing. That's an everybody in sports thing. Drives me crazy, but Louisville going to be tough. So that schedule, what does that mean? Should you recalibrate what you would view a success to be for Ole Miss in 2026 because of that schedule? And you know you're going to get the dishonest commentary. It's coming. Just wait. You guys have seen it already from a national college football media perspective. We're going to visit with a lot of them at Media Days. There's a lot of people that are really thoughtful, that really care, that try to go deeper and understand the teams within the SEC and beyond at a deep level. And then there are people that do not. And you see that in our business in particular. You're going to have, let's say, Ole Miss goes 9-3 this season. Just 9-3. Well, clearly they miss Lane because Lane would have gone 11-1 just like last year. You're going to see it. I'm just telling you, just get prepared for that. If Ole Miss does not win 11 games this year, you're going to see what would it would have been like had Lane stayed? I promise it's going to happen, and it will be so dishonest because of, frankly, how much more difficult this schedule is. Last year, as you know, 8 home games, Washington State and Tulane are essentially, I know it's a little bit more nuanced than this, but replace Washington State and Tulane with Texas and Louisville. And that's kind of what you're getting. You're getting an extra SEC game, and then your non-conference opponent. I know Tulane was, a playoff team last year, but I think your non-conference opponent, it's not at home either, is more difficult than last season's. So what is the barometer for success in year one? What is, to me, it's 9 wins. I think the general statement, barring a bad string of injury luck, knock on wood, there's wood all over here. If you have an injury to the quarterback and the running back within the first couple of weeks of the season, well, then throw all this out, right? Barring general health, if the Egg Bowl, and I think you're going to kind of have to win that game, but if Ole Miss is, by the end of the season, playing a playoff-implicated game on Black Friday, the season, the barometer for success should be yes. A 9-3 just barely getting left out because the SEC decided to shoot itself in the foot with an extra conference game for everybody. I think that's an acceptable result in 2026, considering the roster and everything that we've talked about many, many, many times before. That to me is the pass fail line for Ole Miss this year is, a 9-3 season. Anything that or above is a success. And of course there's levels of success as well. Like, if they make the playoff, if they go undefeated, then throw a parade, right. But that's my line right there. That's my cutoff line. If the Egg Bowl, after it's over, Ole Miss is waiting on selection day to make the playoff, it's a successful season, even if they don't get in. I think that's what the schedule does for your level of success. I don't think it can be playoff or bust necessarily, but it has to be you are in the mix to make the playoff or bust because of how much more difficult the schedule is. This roster with last year's schedule, easy playoff or bust. You should be talking about going to Atlanta with this roster with last year's schedule. So that is what this changes for me. Not a whole heck of a lot, but that is what this changes for me there, for Ole Miss. What about you? Let me know, and we'll get to your comments after I tell you about Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance. He has auto, home, life, or business insurance. He's got you covered anywhere in this great state for all of those insurance. And he has won awards for his services. 601-823-3500 is his phone number. 601-823-3500. He will take care of you, again, anywhere in Mississippi, even if you have insurance. It's worth a five-minute phone call. It obviously can't hurt, right? I don't think it does. It didn't hurt me at all. It was quick and easy. Good people there. So call him. Tell him I sent you. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance. Also, Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every day. It's in the name. They have a great online banking platform, local loan servicing and decision-making, 16 locations, so there's likely to be one near you. Priority One Bank, they make you their priority. All right, here we go. You could realistically put all of the SEC in the top 16 hardest schedules. Yeah, and like I said, let me pull up the Big Ten. Big Ten helmet schedule and tell you what Ohio State's facing. But the only reason why Ohio State is in where they are in the schedule ranking is because they have to go to Texas. But, okay, Ohio State, Ball State at Texas, Kent State, Illinois at Iowa, Maryland at Indiana, at USC, Oregon, at Nebraska, Michigan. Now, for a Big Ten schedule, Ohio State's is tough, man. Think about it. They're at Texas. Iowa's never easy to go play. They're at the reigning national champion. They have to go to the Coliseum, and they have to play Oregon and Michigan. That's tough. And the Big Ten is still lacking at the very bottom of the conference. The Big Ten is clearly caught up to the SEC. Results on the field prove that. But there is still a difference in the two leagues. And the difference is the bottom of the SEC is still stronger than that of the bottom of the Big Ten. And Ohio State doesn't really get that many breaks from the bottom of the league. I mean, Northwestern and Maryland are there. But their schedule is a lot more difficult than that of let me find another one for you. Indiana's actually, kind of tough, but Indiana avoided Oregon. They have Ohio State at home. They have USC at home. They avoided Penn State, so that helps there. Let's see. Michigan's is much better. They do have to play Oklahoma. But from a Big Ten perspective, they're at Minnesota, at Rutgers. They do have to go to Oregon and Ohio State. But Ohio State's is it fits in the SEC one for sure. Absolutely, it does. Going to go ahead and assume we're leaving alone the Bianco situation today. Should be more info on it tomorrow. Yeah, I would like to know more. That's I'm not going to avoid it. I want to know more. I was surprised a little bit at that. But, you know, I would like to know more. That Ole Miss needs to be given the opportunity, whether it be through a reporter or just on their own, to tell their side of the story. Because the way it was presented doesn't look good. But I would like to see more information before I start ripping on somebody for something that may not be in context. We'll see. Why is Trinidad not getting any love from the national media for the preseason awards? I mean, he's in the conversation, right? Everybody's putting him first or second preseason all SEC. But like from the Heisman perspective, you know, there's just a lot of really quality players, and it's an answer that you're not going to like. But there is the, well, Lane and Charlie aren't there. I don't know if it's going to be the same. I don't think that's particularly fair, but that's part of that reason as well. But I mean, Dante Moore, man, put up great numbers. He's on a really good team. You know, Ohio State's got a couple of them that they're going to win a bunch of games. Arch Manning is there, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's a lot of guys on that level. I think he's getting an appropriate amount of attention. Where would Ole Miss be today if Auburn had beaten Alabama and had gone to Atlanta? Oh, I don't even want to know what that would be like, because I guess Lane would have coached the SEC championship. I don't know. I feel like if that situation would have been prolonged another day, literally another 24 hours, I don't know if it would have gone the same. Now, that was coming to a head, and that would have been weird. They'd have gotten beaten, I think, in the SEC championship just because of all of the distractions and things like that. I don't think that they'd have been ready to play that day. It was nice that they got to play Georgia when they did, because Pete Golding got to settle everything down and get the team to refocus. And then they, you know, obviously gave Georgia their best shot and beat them. But it would have been chaos. And I don't know if it would have looked the same, to be honest with you. Where would Ole Miss be today if there was still a second portal window? That's a really good question. Probably not too dissimilar to where they are right now. I'm glad they got rid of that for college football as a whole. It didn't need that at all. I think they would be better at tackle right now. I do. I think they would be better at tackle right now. Wouldn't be surprised if one of the reserve defensive linemen would have gotten in, maybe. But no, I mean, man, they've got these guys with contracts and stuff like that. And I mean, if you were able to retain them when you did, why wouldn't you have been able to maintain that retention, you know, 2 months later? Honestly, you think Pete will still be the coach if they went to the SEC title game? I mean, that would have guaranteed it for sure. I mean, there was no other option at the time, and there certainly wouldn't have been later on. But it just would have been a disaster. Not from a Golding perspective, but there was just too much going on. The story that Chase wrote about Pete being so good to the fans on the Rebel road trip makes you want him to succeed even more. Yeah, absolutely. And I will say this, though. It's a good thing that he's got that approach, by the way, because you guys know me. If you listen to me all the time, you hear me say all the time, not enough people in sports, college, professional, wherever, have a fan-first approach. Not enough people are like that. And to see that anecdote of, you know, these people are going to get what they paid for, that's really good. That's an uncommon thing in sports today. Fans are expendable to most people. You guys went 6 years with a coach that kind of saw you guys as expendable, and that's not unique to him. That's a lot of coaches. Most of them are better salesmen and pretend like that you're not, but they don't act like their actions don't match their words about how important fans are and things like that. Not all of them, but most of them are that way. So reading that and hearing that about Pete Golding, that's a great thing. I will say, though, don't let liking the person change your expectations for the program. It's great that he's doing that. I love that he's doing that. You that are paying the salaries of all the players and all the coaches, and you're buying the tickets, and you're spending your emotional and financial capital and your time to support these teams, you deserve more than what you get. You do. But don't let getting that prevent you from having high standards for your program, or don't let that cause you to reduce your standards for your program. That's the only thing I'll quote unquote caution people about. He's a lot more likable. He's a lot more engaging with you, but that doesn't mean your standards get lower because you like him better. How much noise will the media make about Trinidad's extra year controversy? Very little. I mean, you'll see pot shots on Twitter from random burner accounts, but no, I don't think that's going to be that big of a deal, to be honest with you. People move on rather quickly. Their attention spans are tiny, and the Sorsby deal took a lot of this spotlight away from that as well. He's obviously not going to play, but that was a more ridiculous legal situation this offseason was him. And Brandon, you're right. I mean, Pavia sued for an extra year and nobody cared because he's awesome. I don't think it's that big. I mean, it's already not that big of a deal unless, you know, you get engaged in the burner verse on Twitter, which, you know, is maybe a place you should never go. But no, people are already not making references to it. And I mean, he's going to go to media days, and he's going to be awesome there. He's very bright, and people are going to want to hear from him and talk to him. He's going to get a lot of Kiffin questions. If I were Kyle Campbell, I would tell everybody that I'm sending there, if you get asked about Lane, your answer is, we don't really have time to think about what happened in the past. We've got a game to focus on. Louisville's a great opponent. We've got to have our eyes forward. If we're going to have our eyes backward, we're going to get beat. So we're just going to focus on what, you know, that those kind of answers is what I would give. But people are going to like him, and he's going to play great football, and it's not going to matter. It's not like he committed a crime. It'd be different if he had a legal situation, a sketchy legal deal. He didn't commit a crime. He didn't do something true. Like, he didn't do anything wrong. So, who's got the hottest seat? Lebby, Beamer, Sankey, when multiple 9-3 SEC teams get left out? Well, probably if you flip Lebby and Beamer in that order, probably. What happens if Ole Miss beats LSU? What's the noise like then? What do you mean the noise? I mean, it'll be, you know, Ole Miss will get mixed in the conversation of that's a national title contender, and depending on how Trinidad plays, it'll be high. It'll be that kind of a response to that game. The emotions of that game are going to be dramatic. It's going to either be death, like, to the program and everything around it, and despair and misery, or Pete Golding's the greatest coach alive and they're going to win the national championship, and the sway. But the national attention is going to be pretty overwhelming that Ole Miss will get if they're able to get it done that day. But we shall see. You're on Pete, but if he does bad this year and next, do you think they move on quick from him? Absolutely, I do. he's got a, I think he'll have a short leash because he is taking over a program that did not need to be rebuilt. It's the rare situation for a coach taking over a program that there wasn't a rebuilding. He had to do a lot of really good things to keep the roster together. That is to his credit. He kept the roster together. But now that you kept it together, it's not a build. You've already got the house. So here's my question. Do you see the G5 team still getting an auto bid this year? They have to. With all the SEC teams not scheduling Memphis or Tulane anymore, those teams won't play anyone good before the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, they're still getting it right now. That will not change in the current format. In 16, I think you'll still get it. Yeah. Yeah, I think you will. And what's kind of crazy, and maybe I'm wrong here. I might be. But in my head, I'm thinking, people say, well, the TV networks don't want those small schools. Generally, they don't. They don't want to in the playoffs, that's for sure. I promise you they didn't want that. But ESPN does own the rights to G6 football, most of it. They do air Sun Belt games. They do pay for that. And part of me wonders if they want that auto bid to where they can turn around and say, or turn around and have the other games that they platform matter. Because I'm not paying for the Sun Belt if you're telling me the Sun Belt doesn't matter. You're going to make it matter because I'm paying for it. They're going to make your playoff. You're going to beat them by 50, and everybody will move on. The game will still rate really well, but I'm paying for the Sun Belt, so you're going to keep the Sun Belt in here. Part of me wonders if that's – maybe that's a dumb thought. I think that might be part of the conversation. Notre Dame schedule is a joke. Let's see it. I think we've already gone through it, but let's see. Wisconsin at Lambeau, Rice, Michigan State at home, at Purdue, at North Carolina, Stanford, at BYU, Navy, Miami, Navy and Gillette Stadium, Miami, Boston College, SMU at Syracuse. Now, Miami and BYU, that'll be tough. Wisconsin's not a pushover. But yeah, that schedule is a joke. I mean, it's an absolute joke. But if they win 10 and Ole Miss wins 9, guess who's getting in? You saw that SEC show today predict state schedule, and they have the Bulldogs 8-4. What say you? That's too many. Their schedule is also quite difficult. But I do think, I mean, if you look back at a season ago, they played Shapen way too long. He threw a bad interception in a game that they should have won at Florida. They didn't, but they should have. Had Texas, I mean, multi-score lead over Texas that they blew, took Tennessee to overtime. They had chances to win more games than they did last year. I think Kamario Taylor's upside is there. It's real. I don't think the end of last season, even though, I mean, you saw the physical gifts and the athletic ability in the Egg Bowl. There's some inconsistency throwing the football there. Lebby's scheme is good. He schemes guys open, even only, you know, winning 7 games in his first 2 years. If you look at the offense, he's scheming guys open. I like their running back room a lot. They've got, a pair of receivers that are, one in particular is proven in this league. The other one I think has got a chance to be good. I think they're not going to be a pushover. I don't think they're winning 8 games, but I don't think they're going to suck the way that they sucked each of the last 2 years. I think they'll be better than that. You see Kalen DeBoer getting the axe. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. They just gave him a contract extension. And a big one. So, I did not watch the Pete Golding interview. We'll get him at Media Days. So, and, you know, I've been off today. And there's only so many hours in the day for me. But I'm sure it was good. I have not seen it or heard it myself. But again, I'm sure it was good. Would not surprise me if it was. But We'll get him at media days. And I say we. Hey Dad's going to butt out of that one. Just like I'll butt out of the Lebby one. Although I would love to talk to Jeff Lebby. But that you know, that's how we're going to do it. But I'll bring that to you guys here, and I'm looking forward to that. Because he's really good. He's really good. Also, we are doing the Not Fall Camp Tour again. We'll be at the library. I will give you the date later on. I've got to start working on booking that, like starting Monday. I've got to start. It'll be in August. I know it's, you know, most of you don't live in Oxford, and it'll be a weekday afternoon. So going to a bar is probably not, you know, your first thought, but we had a great crowd at it last year. So hopefully you guys step up again, because that was a lot of fun. But we'll have people showing up, and coaches and people in the athletic department and stuff like that, just like last year. So I'll let you guys know. Have you heard anything new about how Kern has been doing? Nothing new that is good. Nothing new that's good. It does not sound good right now. Hopefully that changes. But frankly, I at the moment, things can change. At the moment, I would not count on him being a contributor when the season begins. At the moment, things can change. But yeah, the tackle position, underline it, circle it, point arrows to it. That's the one. That is the one. I can give you a backed by like data, logic, and reason why every other position group on the team can be great to elite, except for tackle. Now, there's a chance that they're good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they like Terrez Davis a lot, apparently. Kinsler came from a great development at Miami. You saw what that offensive line was. So, there's a chance that they're good, but you have to really stretch to get there, considering the lack of experience and the lack of depth. Every other position, I can argue that. Not with tackle. It's their thing. Every team is going to have a flaw somewhere. I think we know what Ole Miss's flaw is for now, anyway. You know, 9-3 means some amazing football will have been played. Not sure they get into the playoffs. Here's what's funny. If they get in, I think they will win. I mean, if you get into the playoffs with this schedule, you can play with anybody in the country. And you saw that to a degree last year. I mean, Miami was better than Ole Miss on the lines of scrimmage. And it still took a last-minute touchdown drive for Miami, who beat Ohio State, to beat Ole Miss. I mean, they were one of the handful of teams in the country. I think the national championship was the correct two teams. I think the national champion was the correct team, but I mean, Ole Miss was right there. Correct a couple things on the line of scrimmage, and you're there, and they may have done that. Returning the guard center guard is important. They've got some depth on the interior of the offensive line, and I think there's a chance they're much better in the front six defensively, much better. They've upgraded at linebacker. Now, I think you can, you know, write that in blood. But, yeah, with this schedule, I think that is the barometer for a acceptable season. So, anyway, really appreciate you guys. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back on Sunday, as we always are. And I will talk to you then. You guys have a great rest of your night. Enjoy your weekend. I will see you on Sunday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.